All right, this is kind of odd because the last time we did this Life Lessons from the Old Testament, this is part two. The last one we did was in May, I have down May 23rd, and this is July 11th. So quite a bit of space between part one and part two, but I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed us. We talked about the story of Joseph found in Genesis chapter 39. There's a lot of life lessons in that story, and I hope you were able to come away from that and knowing that no matter what situation you're in, who's in charge? God is in charge. God is in charge. No matter what situation you're in, God is in charge. And people are watching us, just like they were watching Joseph. They're watching us to see if we really believe that we believe God is in charge and will have grace upon us. And what's interesting, too, is even while you're going through these trials and tribulations that Joseph was doing, he clung to God as his refuge, and God prospered him and brought him out to where he was made second in command over the entire country of Egypt. And also we learned through Job that he blesses others. Because of your faithfulness, he will bless others. So say at your work or in your home or somewhere else, God will bless. So tonight we're switching gears and we're talking about King David. And I'm just choosing a portion of his story. He's got so much that we could talk about, but I want to speak to you from 2 Samuel chapter 11. And we're only going to go through a few verses, so it's not going to be a protracted service in that regard, but the lessons are so important that even though you hear it in the days of King David, think of how it might apply in your life today. So let's start out with 2 Samuel, and we'll go verse by verse, but 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. Now notice it says here, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time," notice this line here, "at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab," that would be his general, "and his servants with him, and all of Israel." Okay? "And they destroyed the children of Ammon," and not just children. You got to be careful how you read that. It's all of that city. "And besieged," in other words, they surrounded, and they built up a, back then they would build up a like a dirt ramp all around the city and besiege it. Rabbah. But look at the last line in this verse. "But David," oh, sometimes the "but" is good, sometimes it isn't. "But David tarried still at Jerusalem." Leave this verse here for a moment. Where should David have been? At war. Because it was when the kings go forth to battle. I don't know what's up with David. I don't know what's going on with him, but he decides, okay, and it's kind of interesting because, you know, it's like everybody goes, time out. Weather's too bad, it's too cold, it's this or that. We're not going to have any more wars. We're going to wait till it's springtime, okay? That's when it's time. So when the year expired, now David and all the others are going out and they're going to start fighting each other all over again. So it's like the battle halts for a while. And then when the time comes, that's when they all go out. So it's strange to us. We fight in any given day, time, night, morning, cold, hot. I mean, it's any time. But they could only do it, or at least effectively, during certain times of the year. So this was the time when the kings go forth to battle, but David. All right, so here we go. Lesson number one, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. I don't know his reasons, but here's the life lesson number one. If you get used to going to church or to services or listening to sermons online, or if you get used to reading your scripture, and you know, God's blessing you with all kinds of knowledge and things like that, and you're more desirous of Him, speaking of Jesus, speaking of the Lord. But if all of a sudden you change your routine, notice what David did. He changed his routine. He was supposed to have been out with his generals and fighting the wars right along with them. Nowadays, we have wars and our generals and a lot of our senators, and they were calling the shots in Vietnam. They were sitting comfy in their seats calling the shots over in Vietnam and wouldn't let us win the war. That's why so many people died. They wouldn't let us win the war. It was supposed to have been what they called a limited war. And so when it came time to, you know, I mean, just even taking a little bit of territory was often told, people, the soldiers would be told to pull back, you know, and don't worry about that, after losing so many lives. So Vietnam was one of the worst of the worst when it came time for who was calling the shots. But here David is sitting pretty at Jerusalem. Again, I don't know his reasons. It doesn't say he was sick. It doesn't say he was tired. It doesn't say, I don't just feel like it. But you know, that's how we get. You know, it's late sometimes and, oh, I don't feel so good. You know, I think I'll skip church tonight. And then once you start skipping church or Bible study or reading, it's easier to do the next time and the next time. And before long, you're completely out of your routine. Completely. And if you don't get back into your routine, so life lesson number one, if you don't get back into your routine very quickly, you could easily lose what you got. And I'm afraid that's what happens to a lot of people. Jesus even made the comment that when people hear the gospel, they're excited at first, but they have no root in themselves. So they don't really establish themselves. And after a while, the cares of this life will take over and choke the word, he said. Okay, it'll choke the word. We can allow that to happen if we're not careful. And so here David is getting out of his God-given responsibilities and routine. So that's one thing we need to remember. 2 Samuel 11, verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide, so just as it's starting, the sun's starting to go down, but the light is still out, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And I had to ask myself the question, I wonder if this was the first time he saw this. Maybe that's why he stayed behind. I don't know. But anyway, it was warm enough that she was outside on the roof of her roof, and he could look down, and he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. We know who this woman is. Her name's Bathsheba. I'm confident, based on who her husband was, which was a major general in the, a very important general in David's army, who by the way, was out to battle, and she was there. I'm sure she knew David was just right above her. So could she have been more careful? I don't know. I don't know what the situation was with her. But here's life lesson number two regarding David. Opportunities to sin will quickly present themselves. So once you get out of your routine, that was the first thing he did wrong. He got out of his routine. Okay? For us, we might get out of the routine of reading our Bible, coming to church, going places to hear the gospel. We're even listening to it online or, you know, whatever. But then once you begin to get out of that routine, all of a sudden there's opportunities to sin. Opportunities. And so David looked and he became distracted. Actually, I should have asked this question at the beginning. What were David's choices at this point? Well, let's think about it. Let's assume for the moment this is the first time he'd seen her up on the roof. I kind of doubt it, but let's assume for the moment it was his first time. Okay, he comes up. He looks at this woman. Yeah, okay, he's a man. He notices she's beautiful. But his choices could have been, oh, you know what? Hide my eyes, turn around, go the other way. Or send somebody and tell her to put something up between, you know, whoever. Because we don't know who all could see her on the roof. But as king, he had that ability. He could order her to have been covered up or go elsewhere. But no, David got distracted. David decided that this was something he was interested in. So opportunities to sin are plentiful, especially when you get away from your God-given responsibilities, and so you become distracted. At the end, we'll take questions and whatnot, because it doesn't get on the recording. So what happened then is that on verse 3 on chapter 11, and this is where he made the wrong choice. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite? See, Uriah and Joab were out fighting in the war. And so David went to ask who she was. So what happens is, David is making the first mistake here. Think about it. He got distracted from his God-given responsibilities. He sees this opportunity to sin. He could have backed away. He could have avoided it altogether. But rather than that, he sent to inquire as to who the woman was. And so they tell him. They found out and they tell him. Now, I want you to read these two scriptures. We studied them in the James chapter 1, verse 14. This is what happens, and this is a prime example, by the way, when we don't follow what we typically would do. Verse 14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, just as David was. He saw the woman, and what? She was very beautiful to look upon. And so he went ahead and sent to find out who is this woman. That was his mistake. He was tempted. He was drawn away by his own lust, his desires, and he was enticed. But look at the next scripture. Verse 15 of James chapter 1. And then when lust has conceived, where? In the mind, it brings forth sin. That's when we act on it. And the very last one, and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. So David made some wrong choices. He gave in to his desires. Now, that's a life lesson for all of us. I mean, we have a tendency And like I said, the opportunities to sin are plenteous. We have so many opportunities that if we're not built up in the faith, strengthened in the faith, and sometimes the battles and the attacks, and you might think sin's not an attack, but it is. It is. It's Satan prompting you to do something against God's commands. And this is how we know we love Jesus Christ, is if we follow him and his commands, and also love the brethren. But the fact is, we're to follow his commands. And so David himself gave in to his desires. And so let's look at 2 Samuel 11, verse 4. So he decided to give in. And David sent his messengers and took her. I mean, who's going to deny what the king says, right? King's word is law. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, means he slept with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. In other words, a one-night stand. David had a one-night stand. Life lesson here, he didn't love the woman. At least, I don't think he did, not at this point. So he didn't love the woman, but he got others. And this is where sin really blossoms out. Not only do we have opportunities to sin and we fall and get enticed with our own cravings and desires and whatnot, but we also involve others. And so David involved messengers and Bathsheba into his sin. Does that make sense? He involved people he should not have had to involve. So now even the messengers know what happened. Okay, everybody's got a best friend. So think how the rumor mill starts. I mean, so this is the way it starts. So not very, you know, and I can just imagine David like, shh. Keep it all secret now. Don't tell anybody. Yeah, right. Like that's going to stay secret. And so here he comes in and he takes Bathsheba for a one-night stand. So now he's involved others. And the last verse I want to go over is verse 5, and then we'll close. Verse 5 says, "And the woman conceived and sent and told David." Uh-oh. Guess what? She is going to have a baby. And she said, "I am with child." See what David's routine did for him? Got him in trouble. But remember that verse in James where it said, and sin, when it's finally causes us to act, it brings forth death. Well, now that the sin was complete, God was going to judge David. And I sometimes think he would judge us as well. It's only by his mercy that we're not judged immediately. Sometimes we are, sometimes we aren't. And it's only by his mercy that he gives us an opportunity to repent. But David calls the great sin. And not only that, but one sin, and this happens a lot, one sin leads to another. Until before long, it's rolling like a snowball and you can't stop it. Okay? It's now become such a gigantic snowball that you just can't stop it. And so now she sends word to David. She says, "Well, guess what? I'm with child." Now David's got a big problem. Not only do people know that he committed adultery, they know how he did it, when he did it, and all this other stuff. And so he decides to send word to Joab to send back Uriah the Hittite. Uriah comes back, and of course David schmoozes him. He gives him a big old meal and everything, and he tells him, "You know what, Uriah, you're such a good soldier." He said, "How about you take a couple of days and go down and comfort you, that's what he called it, comfort yourself with your wife. You know what David wanted him to do. He wanted to comfort himself with his wife so that it would look like that the baby would be Uriah's. Guess what? Uriah had more honor, even though the Hittites were supposed to have been eliminated. I don't know if you knew that. But this particular Hittite was loyal to David. And he was loyal enough that he actually slept at the door of the king. He wouldn't go down to his house. He wouldn't go visit his wife. Even though he was back from the war, don't you just love those videos when people come back from Afghanistan and Iraq and whatnot, and they show up at, sometimes they show up at their children's basketball game or whatever kind of activity that's going on, and then surprises them. Somebody's taking a video, and it's just fun. It's fun to watch the reaction of their face. But here we have Uriah not going anywhere. He's staying at the door, sleeping at the door. In other words, you got to go past Uriah to get to the king. And that probably was going to be a hard fight if you tried to do that. So Uriah is sitting at the door. Of course, David finds out the next morning, oh, he's still in trouble. Okay, Uriah's going to find out one way or another. So David decides to get Uriah drunk. Here we go. That snowball's starting to get bigger and bigger and bigger. The sin opportunities are just keep on presenting themselves. So he gets Uriah drunk. And he says, now, Uriah, he said, you know, you're staggering, I know, but let's get you home and back down to see your wife. Even as a drunk man, Uriah was loyal to David and again slept at the door. And so David had only one choice now. The sin now has to grow. He's going to send a letter by Uriah, no less, to Joab, to put him in the heat of the battle, and to put Uriah up at the heat of the battle, and then when the time is right, for everyone else is going to pull back. Now he's involved Joab in this sin. So Joab, as general, puts Uriah at the heat of the battle. And by the way, Uriah could have read the letter on the way back to the war, but he didn't. Otherwise, his plan would have failed. But here, Joab puts Uriah at the front of the battle and then pulls back. Uriah is left all alone, and he gets killed. Sin brings forth death. But not only that, but now God has judged David for doing this awful thing. I mean, it's grown so big and out of control now, God steps in. And he says, you know what? This is also going to result in the baby dying. An innocent little baby is going to die because of David. All because of David. And David tried. David tried to repent and save the baby's life. He actually fasted, I think, for 7 days. And he laid prostrate. I don't know if you know what that means, but that's when you're face down on the floor. You're face down on the floor, and he was praying to God, and he fasted, I think, for 7 days. Wouldn't take a bath, wouldn't do anything, just laid there before the Lord. And when he heard his servants talking, He discerned that the baby must be dead already, because they were worried about how we're going to tell him. Said, if he's like this now, while the baby's sick, said, how are we going to tell him now that he's dead? So David gets up and he asks them plainly. He says, is the baby dead? And they said, yes, King David. And so he decided to take a bath and get cleaned up and all that stuff. And they asked him, this is an interesting question. They asked him, this is why I believe that we'll even get to see our loved ones later on. They asked David, they said, wait, well, when the baby was yet alive, you were fasting and you were praying and you were, you know, down on the floor and you wouldn't anoint your head and clean up or do any of that. But now that he's dead, You get up and do everything normally. You take a bath and you live life. And he said, the baby can't come to me, but he says, I can go to him. And so David believed. I don't know if God gave him a prophecy or what, but God gave him something to let him know that he had hope that in spite of his sin, in spite of it, because I'm sure David repented for those 7 days. I'm sure he did. But now he realizes that, hey, I've caused this great sin, and all these people so far, not only are they involved, but some of them are dead because of me. And he says, he can't come to me, but I will go to him. Now, that is something that gives me hope. So the last lesson I want you to learn from this story is that you have hope. If you repent from your sins, the Lord said, or excuse me, not the Lord, it was John, one of the apostles, wrote in his letter, said he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And he will. But unfortunately, this particular sin caused basically his whole family. Now, I don't know if they knew this situation in particular, but his whole family was dysfunctional now. And he had war within his own family, okay? To the point that one of them actually took over the throne. But he had war in his own family, and David was not without peace until he became an old man. But do you see what happens? You see what happens when we get out of our routine and we notice the opportunities to sin, we give in to our desires, and then we involve other people in our sins. It brings forth death. And it's very similar to a story, and I'm trying to think of what year it happened, but right there off 100, up, I think you call it Wilburn Valley. It might even been somebody we knew. I can't recall, Pam, but it was a 13-year-old girl, I think, snuck out of the house and took the car and got two or three other friends of hers. And they went driving the car, and apparently she couldn't drive that well. Maybe they were drinking, I don't know. Well, whatever reason, they had an accident, a very bad accident. And I think all the people in the car died except her, I think. Was it just one? Oh, okay. So, you see what sin does? Her one night of quote-unquote fun ended up with one person getting killed. And who knows if that one person was saved or not. Odds are, if she was willing to sneak out along with the other girl, that she might not have been saved. Those are the odds. But you see what happens? We get out of our routine, and it ultimately can lead to death. You might think it starts small, but sin grows. Sin grows. So I hope these life lessons from the Old Testament are useful, are good to you. And I'm going to close out the CD, and if anybody wants prayer, I'll be so glad to pray. Almighty God, thank you for this story, Lord. I know it ends tragically. Lots of times when we sin, it does end tragically. But Lord, we know that you are merciful. We know that you're pitiful toward us. And so God, I ask you for each and every person here. Lord, I don't know what their situation is. I don't know what routines that they may get distracted from. But I pray that you keep us, Lord. Keep us in your will. Keep us in your hands. Hold us, Lord. Don't let us stray. And Lord, I pray that you keep us in your word and keep us in prayer, especially for our families. And God, I pray that you will bless each and every heart and soul represented here today. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.